Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Fresh breath of heaven. Glory. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. Would you turn to the book of Ezekiel, please? Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Glory to God. Is everybody there in verse 12? Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the seal of what? Perfection. In other words, that it's called seal of completion. Everyone say seal of completion. You are the seal of perfection. You are full of what? Wisdom and perfect in beauty. So I want you to see that there's some words associated with seal of perfection is associated. Actually, it's seal of completion. There's completion and perfect. He said, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. In other words, your talents and abilities were created for you on the day, was given to you on the day you were created. He said, you were the anointed cherub who covers. In other words, he's talking about Lucifer, who was the anointed cherub who covers the universe with praise and worship. That's why he had timbrels and pipes. Lucifer was at one point like God's right-hand man. He was the highest-ranking archangel. He was a cherub. He was one that was close to the throne. And God breathed through Lucifer, and music and sound and worship and praise came through him. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, the holy mountain of God was known as the earth. The earth was known as the place of the universe where praise came forth from. And in this, he said, you walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. In other words, Lucifer was there when God created the universe. The Bible says that the angels and heavenly hosts were created before creation itself of the matter. So the angels were created before the universe was created. The universe was taken out of a timeless place, an eternal place, and placed where it was set to where there would be a beginning and there would be an end. Because in the universe is bound and established by time, space, and matter. So in this, Lucifer was the praise and worship leader. And and the Lord said that you were perfect. So he walked through the fiery stones because when things were created, God had fiery stones. And so Lucifer saw the earth being created and many other things. He said, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. In other words, he was complete. Everyone say complete. He said, until iniquity was found in you. Now, iniquity is something that it can be. In other words, we know iniquity is a curse. It's inherited, something that's passed down the family line. You cannot have iniquity in your life until you've committed sin, transgression, and then iniquity. So in other words, iniquity was found in him because he did something. Now iniquity was found in him. And one of the things he was doing was he was deceiving. He was trying to receive the praise like God was receiving praise. He was deceiving angels to praise and honor him instead of praise and honor God. And you can go to Isaiah, I believe it's 14. So God had his seal on Lucifer. He was the seal of completion. He was perfect. And in verse 12 in Isaiah 14, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you said in your heart, I will what? Ascend into the heaven." Why? Because he was the praise and worship leader on the earth. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." I would call that quite arrogant and prideful. "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like," what? "The Most High." Yet this was the Lord's response. He said, "Yet you shall be brought down to hell," Sheol, "the lowest depths of the pit," the abyss. So that was the Lord's response. But again, Lucifer committed rebellion. He deceived. His first arena was in deception and rebellion. And he took a third of the angels with him when he was cast to the earth for punishment. In other words, he has been sentenced here to the earth until the day of his punishment. So the earth is the place of his imprisonment. He was a servant to Adam when Adam was created, and all the angels were servants. He was in the garden. But one of the things that happened is Lucifer deceived Eve, who deceived Adam, and everything fell. All of creation became corrupt. Everything is now in a corrupt state of being. Everything. So everything now comes into this realm, dies. There isn't anything that lives forever in this realm. Everything that comes into this realm dies because of the prince of power of air, who is also associated with the spirit of death. So in this, we see that in the seal of completion, one of the things that God looks at me and you. Now, Jesus hung on the cross for me and you. It's almost like a port. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's a dimensional port. When Jesus was on the cross, everything changed. The moment he died, dimensional port opened. And God now was allowing to be reconciled with man. See, it wasn't man needing to be reconciled with God. It was God reconciling himself with men, saying, "Okay, I'm going to allow relationship to be built between me and you now," because he kept it away. He didn't allow a relationship for everyone. He chose certain ones to do his service, but now it's available for every single one. So what had happened was, on the cross, as he was pierced on the side, he birthed the body of Christ. And anyone who was willing to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and follow him has been birthed from the cross. A shadow of the cross oversees that person, but he's just walked through a dimensional port where he has been sealed by God. So the Lord looks at me and you as a seal of completion, or as perfection. Does everybody get this? See, we have a hard time accepting that. We have a real hard time because the carnal mind is still attached to this realm. But the mind of the Spirit is not. That's why it's our responsibility to allow the spirit man to have dominion over the soulish and the flesh, so that the mind of Christ can have complete dominion. Now you know who you are. See, the soul cannot identify, nor can the flesh identify. Only the spirit identifies. That's why the soul must be constantly transformed into the image and likeness, so it can keep up with the ID that's been placed upon me and you. See, we look carnally through the eyes. When we look in the mirror, we only look at self. We don't look through the self. We don't look through the soul to see the new spirit man that's in the image of like and likeness of Christ. Is everybody okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, anything that has the seal of God on is approved. Anything that does not have the seal of God on is not approved. And the seal of God is backed by the anointing. And verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are what? Yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, he who established us with you in Christ has anointed us, in other words, sealed us. And this is God, who has what? Is that right there? Are you reading it with me? Come on, let's start at verse 20 again, all right? Everybody. For all the promise of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ has what? Anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So, again, anything that's been sealed is anointed. Now, the anointing is the eternal presence power, and truth of God Almighty. So, you got to look at something. When you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, a guarantee, that's when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in me and you, then, is the eternal presence of God, the power of God, and the truth of God, which is revealed by the anointing. And the carrier of the anointing is the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go. So, the promises of God are complete. They're sure to those who are sealed for completion by the anointing. Amen? Now, the anointing overcomes. Now, listen. The anointing, because we have the eternal power, presence, and truth of God Almighty, that anointing overcomes all and every obstacle and affliction from the world. Every single one. Everyone. That's why it says, count it all joy when you, what? When trials, in other words, when they come, we're going through them. They are never to hold us captive. Never to hold, doesn't mean that they're not coming, but they're to never hold us captive. So if you're truly walking in the anointing, you can never be held captive. You can be tempted, you can be tried, but you can't be held captive. Does everybody get this? Why? Because you have God's approval on you. You were born again with the seal that says, mine, can't touch it. 1 John chapter 2. You must understand, are you ready for this? As a man thinks, say it with me, as a man thinks, so he is. So who be messing with you? So how you think is how you're going to be. So how you think is what you speak. What you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. And if you continue on that path, you walk from under the anointing. You actually walk away from it. And all hell breaks out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John. What did I say? First what? 1 Corinthians? Get behind me. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 20, and let's read this. Would you read it with me? Thank you. But you have a anointing from the Holy One, and you what? Well, hallelujah. So you know all things. I've not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing, the Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that what? Abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and in the Father, and that's through the anointing. And this is the promise that he's promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you, mess with your thinking, move you from under the anointing, put you in a place of the works of flesh instead of the works of the Spirit. Verse 27. Come on, read it. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide where? So how do you maintain the anointing? By abiding in him. Does everybody get it? So one of the things the enemy tries to do is to get you to start abiding into other things. In other words, coming out of the anointing. Again, we talked about make no place for the devil. Why? Because you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. You continue to grieve the Holy Spirit, especially with your tongue. You will walk from right away from the anointing. Because the Holy Spirit won't put up with your tongue. He'll step back. That's why he's called holy. He promotes holiness, righteousness. He doesn't promote anything else. He carries the carrier. Come on, now think about it. If he is the carrier of the eternal presence of God, the eternal power of God, and eternal truth of God, and he's trying to get us to give him place and position in our life to not only train us, but to teach us, to guide us to all truth, and to move through us in every area. You know, one of the things he's going to tell you is he asks you questions to get your attention. Doesn't he ask, okay, as you read the Bible, what does it say? He says, what do you see? I can't tell you in the beginning stages of my walk how many times the Holy Spirit would tell me, what do you see, guy? I tried to get away with it for a while. And whatever you want me to see. That only went for a little bit. What do you see? Because he wants to know, he wants you to see things through. Because we are being trained by the Holy Spirit. We are comforted by pleasing the Holy Spirit because he is not only the breath of God, he is God. Hello. He's the one. He's the one that filled that shell temple called Jesus, where a body was prepared for him. It's the Word of God that was his flesh. It was the breath of God that filled it. So the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty was in the shell of Jesus, made by the Word, because he was God. And he was declaring us truth. And when his flesh was crucified, that was the only reason why his flesh was crucified was the opportunity to take on all sin, because the only way he could get into hell was to take on your sin and mine. That was the only way he could get into hell. So he had to send himself to hell by taking our sin. So he went into hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Lucifer. And then he gave me and you the keys of heaven to bind and loose and have dominion over everything. Oh, isn't that glorious? I mean, think about that. If you know, we not are gathered together for training, but we gather together to bring things to remembrance. Because things are always being stolen from us in this realm. You know, we're being hard-pressed. Spirits are always attacking us. There's all kinds of things going on in every area. Always messing with our thoughts. Trying to get us to say things and do things and react and respond instead of responding. Or you know, trying to get us to sow in the flesh. And so we have the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. In reality, we don't have any excuses then. It's just an area of cooperation. So we must will our will to cooperate. Thus, we must take dominion over our own will. Let me tell you, the devil cannot make you do anything. That was Flip Wilson saying. You guys, he used to go around saying, the devil made me do it. He was a comedian. And the devil doesn't make you do it. He convinces you to cooperate with him instead of the Holy Spirit. That's all. So you can't blame anyone or any circumstance or anything of what you do. That is our choice because we have a power to choose. But if we're really yielding to the Holy Spirit every day, if we're really asking him and really, not, what's the Bible say? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, right? You know, guide you. If we're really acknowledging, if we're really willing to take a moment to say, you know what, man, I need your presence. You know, if we're really, see, prayer time in the morning is the most important time of your day. That's how you how things are set. Your destiny is determined on that day by your prayer time in that morning. Why? Because what you sowed the day before is waiting for you on the next day, good and bad. What you said yesterday will be in front of you the next day. So the enemy is trying to mess with your thoughts. He tries to get you into the emotional arena where you rely on your feelings instead of truth. God is not the God of feeling. He is the God of truth. That's why he's called, that anointing is called power, presence, truth, not feeling. I didn't find one. Even when you look up love, it never said anything about love in Corinthians 13 about being a feeling. It was a choice. Amen. Didn't the Bible say God chose me and you? We chose him because he what? Chose us. That's a choice. We love him because he what? Loves us. So we make a choice to love him. And in the expressing love, there's an area of submission and obedience. Submit to God, resist the devil. Hello? No submission to God? You cannot resist the devil. Why? Because you're submitting to God by abiding in him to maintain the anointing so he can overcome every obstacle that can be put across your path, no matter what. One of the things that the anointing does is always constantly separate you, sanctifies you, keep you set apart. It keeps you unattached to the world. That's why it's so important when we praise and worship that we go after God. Why? Because you're re-energizing like the ever-ready battery. You know, you're getting regenerized. You're plugging in to the throne room of God. Yes, you know. Kick demon. And we become demon hunters. We become the hunter instead of the hunted. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Sure is hot in here. Philippians 4. Hallelujah. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Hallelujah. In verse 10, let's speak it together. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content. I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through... Wait a minute. The word Christ here means anointing. I can do all things through the anointing that I have been sealed with because I carry the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Does everybody get it? The anointing knows, sees all, and wills all according to God's will for me and you. Christ, which strengthens us, meaning the anointing that seals me and you. We are sealed. We have been pre-approved. You know, people go, we were predestined to be conformed into his image and likeness. In other words, God already chose you before you even existed. Ephesians 4. Now, I get real goofy people that tell me, well, if I'm predestined, I don't have to do anything. No, no, no. My wife was telling me about a girl she was in college with in nursing school. And the girl didn't study for nothing. She said, well, if it's God's will, I'll pass. Well, she flunked. So the cooperation, remember, did Jesus cooperate with the will of God? Yes. Well, then you and I must too also. Amen. I mean, all of this goofiness. Well, I'm predestined to be conformed. Yes, but your cooperation is going to fulfill your predestined position. Without cooperation, there is no predestined position. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:11. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, let's read it. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? That perfect man means what? Complete man. Till we come complete. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing. That we should no longer be children, hello, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. No, you know, every wind of doctrine. People think that just wind of doctrines are things that you read. No, those are things that you hear. By the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. By, now listen again, where, okay, wait a minute. By, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. In other words, cooperates. Cooperates. You know why? Because when one's not cooperating, someone else has to pick it up. Can you imagine if everyone cooperated? If the whole body of Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, dear God. The devil wouldn't have a place to hide. Every one of his high altars, every one of his places would be destroyed by what? Intercessory prayer. But the enemy is infiltrated. He's caused denominations. I'm still trying to find the First Baptist Church. I don't know where it is. Everyone says they're the first. I don't get it. You got Pentecost, Baptist, this, that. I thought the Bible, I could never find it in the Bible. The only thing I've ever seen was Christian. It's the only thing I ever saw. No. But the enemy infiltrates, causes divisions, brings these doctrines that are preventing people from coming into unity, from walking in the fullness of Christ, from being able to see all the way through. But think about it. If we were all baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, the whole body of Christ, oh God, what revivals would be happening? There wouldn't be one hungry person in the world. Not one. There wouldn't be one naked person in the world. A lot of things would change. We'd be infiltrating the government and everything. Of course, all that's coming. Jesus is going to come and set up the government. You know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Somewhere around there. Oh, yeah, cool. Let's start at verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. And you who what? Once were alienated and enemies in your what? In your mind, by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. In other words, complete. You have the seal of completion. Verse 23. If indeed, hold on, wait a minute. There's another word coming up here that's big, big, big. If indeed you what? Continue. That means what? Cooperate. In the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not what? Moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. In other words, the enemy's going to try to get you to drift. He's trying to get you to be complacent, lazy, compromise, where you drift away and walk away from the anointing. Amen? Verse 24. I now rejoice in my what? Sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from which God was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Look what the mystery is. Which is what? Christ in you the hope of glory. What? The anointing in you, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God in me and you. Woo! Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man what? Perfect, which means what? Complete. In Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. I want to go to chapter 4. Every man be made perfect, complete, complete. Eternal wisdom. Colossians 4. Is everybody there? I hope so. It's not taking you too long to get there. Verse 12. Ephorus, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and what? Complete in what? All the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea and those who are in Hierapolis. So, in other words, he is willing. You got to remember that the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to fulfill the will of God in me and you. He's the one. So without the cooperation, without our cooperation with the anointing, we cannot fulfill the will of God. Amen? We're to be standing perfect and complete. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because as a man thinks, so he be. What he speaks is, what he thinks is what he speaks. What he speaks is what he eats is what he becomes. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, seeking whom he... Listen, he cannot devour you while you're in the anointing. That's why he couldn't touch Jesus. He could tempt him. He could do all things. He cannot touch you under the anointing. It's impossible. He hates the anointing. Do you remember when Jesus showed up and all those dudes, the people that were demonized, and the one dude had legions? Son of God, what are you doing here? It ain't time yet. They knew who he was. Man, don't be casting us to the pit yet. Why? The demons know the anointing. They know the anointing. They know whether you're walking in the anointing or not. They know whether you're walking in the spirit or in the flesh or in the soul. They know, and they will take advantage of you. Because they know that their words will penetrate. See, in the anointing, you can hear their words, but they can't penetrate. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like being in a group of people and you don't hear anybody except for the one you're talking to. Verse 9, what does it say? Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered his training. After you have been trained a while. That this training is going to bring what? Perfection or completion. It's going to establish you. It's going to strengthen you. And you're going to be settled, so you're not going to be moved. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. But you won't be moved by the mistake. Does anybody get it? You're not going to be moved by the mistake. You're not going to give up. Why? Because you know who you are. Praise God. So suffering is a part of your completion. And so many times we're not willing to suffer. You know, one of the things that after my visitation and so forth and walking with the Lord, I began to realize that, and there was a pain in me, and the pain was having to say goodbye. Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad. Bye. I thank you. I love you, but I'm no longer yours. Bye, brothers and sisters of the world. Bye, children. I love you. I'm here, but I'm his. See, there was a part of the suffering that had to be torn off. They were ripping. Bye. Bye. Why? Because I was loosening myself from my identity. See, because we still place in our identity and everything associated with our past. mom, dad, son, daughter. No, sir, I'm his now. That's different. See, when and you're not willing to tear that away, the enemy has access to you. He has access to you. Why? Those are telephone lines that are connected to you. Oh, but I should have, if I would have just been a better father. Wait a minute. Then you're living from the past again. If I should have been a better mother, I could have been. No, man. No. You're trying to take control again. And you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. You're going to walk away from the anointing and the call of your life that is an eternal purpose. See, the world can only offer you a temporary purpose. God offers us an eternal purpose and seals us with it so that we maintain the eternal identity. But the enemy wants to bring you back to mom, dad, and all the other things. And there's nothing wrong with being a mom and dad, but that's not your identity anymore. That's not who you are anymore. You are first son, daughter, servant. Then you're everything else. Does everybody get this? See, that's order. That's order. That's divine order. When we only look at ourselves as things according to the traditions of men in the world, we're out of order. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. Oh, glory. You know, when we were in the world, the only thing we were trying to do was build an empire of the world. We were trying to build a life of the world. We were told, you got to be somebody. Get an education. Be somebody. Make sure you get a good job. Marry somebody with a lot of cash. You got to be somebody. So we lived most of our life in the world trying to be somebody. And we could never be anybody. We tried everyone. We tried to be a hero, or this, or that, a mom, or this, a dad. We tried to be, but we were never who we really are. Because we're eternal beings, not temporary. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 3. Is anybody there? Praise God. In verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, or correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be what? Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, that's why we read about God has offices, everything's for training and equipping, right? Everything is being trained. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is constantly training us till we are no longer. That's what Paul said. It's no longer I that live, but you. We're always got to, you know, we got to constantly beat ourselves down in the, you know, the old man. Down, back on the cross. You know, tries to come alive every day, every moment. And the only reason, and how does it come alive? Because it lives by memory. The old man lives by memory. The new man lives by truth. It's different. Why? Because truth identifies who you are. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. The whole thing is, are we cooperating with becoming new? So if we're taking things that are new, eating from the future, eating from the truth, we're constantly maintaining, we're staying in a state of being of new. New. It's when we begin to touch the things of old. We begin to decay again. Hallelujah. Let's go to somewhere. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Seal of completion. Everyone say, I'm complete. Yeah. Now, I didn't ask you if you felt complete, did I? Remember that. None of us would feel complete. Well, isn't there something more I'm supposed to do? I mean, don't I need to fast to be complete? Yeah, you need to fast from the world. Listen. Stop. By stopping to eat your muffins is not going to make you feel any different. You're complete in him no matter what. Does everybody get it? Me stop eating carrot nut muffins is not going to make anything different. In fact, when I eat them, I feel more complete. Because I know it's not about a feeling. It don't matter. All right, never mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is that what I said? Thank you. Somebody rescue me. 1 Thess 5. In verse 14. Can we read this together, please? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice when you feel it. Always. Y'all need to highlight that. Always. Pray without what? Ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not what? Quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself what? Sanctify you. Set you apart. Sanctify you what? Completely. In other words, fulfill. And may your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Oh, sanctify completely. Fulfill the seal that is on you in completion. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. Sanctify is associated with anointing. May he sanctify you. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that separates you. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 and verse 4. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. Rejoicing to see your good order. Your what? Good order. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, or walk in the what? Anointing. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it, with what? Thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to the anointing. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are what? Yes, you are what? Complete in him through what? The anointing. Who is the head of all principality in darkness and in power. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also what? Circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwritten writing of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is the anointing. It's Christ. Remember, Christ was the shell of the Word and the Spirit of God, who carried the eternal presence, power, and truth. Verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in itself, impose religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Why? Because the only thing that will empower you is the anointing. Now, he doesn't mean you can go out and touch unclean things and all kinds of stuff. Does everybody get it? Why? Because we're to be sanctified. Sanctified is set apart. We're set apart. We're sealed. We are a seal. We're the expression of his completion. We are the expression of his perfection. Not by feeling, not by what you see in the mirror, not by your works, but what he says of promise. See, he paid the price for me and you. Now we cooperate with it. That's all we're doing, is cooperating. We are continuing. We are no longer looking back. Again, we are living from the future, which is maintaining the anointing. We're abiding in him. Our food is no longer just food. Our food is the word. That's the food to me and you. That's what nourishes. It's what strengthens our spirit, man. Our food. That's the word of God. Why? Because his words are life. Whether it's written or spoken. His words are life. So what's happening is when right now your spirit man is being fed. It's being strengthened. What? To overcome what? Your soul, your flesh, your thoughts, the temptations of the world, the influence, your feelings, your spirit man. Listen, after my visitation from the Lord, I didn't know the word, but my spirit man was so strengthened that any feeling that tried to come, no. Any thought that tried to come, no. In me, because if I was filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, didn't he write this? So I may not have known the word verbatim, but I knew the word because I knew it pleased him. I knew it was right and wrong. I knew it was clean and unclean. I knew it was righteous and unrighteous. So my spirit man was able to be strong enough to cooperate with the mind of Christ and say, not that way, guy. Not that way. This way. Don't go there. Don't touch that. Let this go. That thought's not of dad. Does everybody understand that? So without strengthening our spirit, man, you're not going to cooperate with the anointing. So your spirit, man, must be strengthened through the word and through the presence so that we are strengthened to cooperate with the anointing. We must cooperate with the anointing. Without the anointing, you and I are nothing. Oh, hallelujah. We are complete, walking. Yes. Let's go. Hallelujah. Jesus said something powerful on the cross. He said, it's finished. Why? Because he completed what he was supposed to. What, listen, the seal of completion is so that you complete. Not only are you complete in him, but you complete the mission. I'm going to say that again. The seal of completion is so that you are complete in him so you can complete the mission. Because we want to complete the mission. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. And he says, Paul says, For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Let me tell you, he knew he was going home soon. I have fought the good fight. I have what? Finished. I have completed the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Yes. I want to go to Philippians again in chapter 1. Philippians 1. Seal of completion. In verse 3, would you read it with me? Oh, wait a minute. I got to go there first. Yeah, that's it. Philippians 1, verse 3. Let's read it. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, make a request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will what? Complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more. And more in what? Knowledge and all discernment. In other words, he's saying, I pray that the anointing will increase in your life. And that you may what? Approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And I want to close it, 1 Corinthians 1. Seal of completion. Actually, before I go there, I want to go to one other place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's important that you see something. In verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Let's start at 14. Is everybody there? 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. This next verse is very important. Watch this. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. No longer. Why? Because he was God. And we know that the flesh that he was in was the Word. And inside that shell flesh was the breath of God, the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth. That's why the next verse can say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ or anyone's in the anointing, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Does everybody see that? 1 Corinthians 1. Thus we no longer acknowledge him as in the flesh. Why? Because he's spirit. He's God. He's the breath. He's the anointing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God and the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Why? He's talking about the anointing again. For you see your what? In other words, without the anointing, you cannot fulfill your calling. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. In other words, he's taken us as foolish, carnal, fleshly, deceivers, liars, lustful, and all the other stuff, and taken us from the world of darkness, placed a seal of completion and perfection on us, given us the wisdom, the anointing to see things through, hear things through, walk things through, overcome any obstacle, that we may be a sign and wonder in one of his trophies. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, you see your calling. Without the anointing, we can't fulfill the calling. Amen? Praise God. Everyone say, I am sealed and completed. Because in his eyes, I am perfected. In his image, likeness, and character, in Jesus' name. And old things have passed away. And all things have become. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, let the seed be protected. Let it grow for your and grow and bear fruit for your glory within us. And let us have the mind of Christ that constantly reminds us of who we are in you and who you are in us. And may the fruits, the gifts of the Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles follow each and every one because of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. In Jesus' name.